Time to talk a little Boston sports, and so we turn to our friend Michael Hurley of WBZ. Hello there, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How's your afternoon?
Excellent. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it's that way up here as well. I'm already a little bit nervous, though, about this Monday night game because having watched what Bill Belichick said and read your piece, I'm convinced these Chicago Bears might be better than the 85 Bears.
Yeah, we've definitely entered the time portal of the season where whatever greatness, and my takeaway from that, from Bill Belichick talking for 7.5 minutes uninterrupted about how great the Bears are, is that, you know, it's a Monday night game. He gets that extra day of preparation, and I think my guy Bill Belichick spent that whole day just watching the tape. He's got the gunners, he's got the coverage guys on the kickoff team, the punter's got a strong leg. It was an incredible ode to the Chicago Bears. So yeah, you're right. Could be a butt whooping in store Monday if they play up to that level.
When we do get to that game Monday night, who do you expect to see a trot out there at quarterback for the Patriots?
I think the more and more needles are starting to point toward Mac Jones. I think it's fair to assume that'll be the case. I did notice, you know, when Mike Reese reported this morning that Mac Jones expects to be available. That was the language. I said, huh. The Patriots expect him to be available, but then shortly after Jeff Howe of The Athletic saying that there's no controversy, that it's Mac Jobs when he's healthy, and then Mac basically being QB1 in the very brief window of practice open to the media, I think it's safe to say Mac has reassumed the throne, which I think is the right move, despite how fun and how good Bailey Zappe was. I think Mac Jones is the clear number one right now.
So you think the coaching staff is all in agreement on this?
That's a good question, and I think the way that Zappe effectively played in a simplified, more basic offense, I think helps everyone. I think it should help the coaching staff. You know, I think sometimes, you know, if Josh McDaniels was running the offense with Brady and then had to use a rookie, that's one thing. I think this kind of was mutually beneficial when Patricia can work with a rookie and say, all right, let's simplify things for both of us. So maybe the offense is in a better rhythm overall in that regard for Mac to step back in, because there's no doubt about it. It was clunky through those first 3 weeks. It was like grinding gears and wasn't exactly smooth. So I'm thinking maybe both sides are a little bit better off to have a little bit of a cleaner operation.
Well, Zappe certainly did a nice job stepping in. But what's really been the story of this team and their ability to get themselves back to 3-3 and I think be in a position to, you know, maybe win three of the next four at least?
Yeah, and I think their defense is carrying them, and their defense is kind of changing my perspective on their ceiling or their season outlook, just because, yeah, it's the Lions, and it's Jared Goff, and it's Dan Campbell, and they didn't have their best running back and one of their best receivers. But, you know, the Lions were a high-flying offense and came in and got absolutely smothered. We saw them just, yeah, you should beat Jacoby Brissett, but they went out and forced three turnovers on offense. Their special teams is turning the ball over on the plus side of the field, which is a team like this, which maybe isn't the explosive offense that is the Kansas City and Buffaloes of the world, they're going to need turnovers on special teams like that. So they're making those plays, and you know, they're going to need that if they want to get that win total up to 10, 11, and mess with the playoffs. So they're certainly clicking in a number of areas.
And I can't imagine the defense is too concerned about the work of Justin Fields.
Yeah, anyone that sat through last Thursday night's game knows that the Chicago offense, I mean, train wreck might be putting it nicely. Like, they are a tough watch right now. They are just a mess. And to see them, you know, they have an extra couple days. They played on Thursday, but I don't think that's really going to help them here. As they go on the road Monday night, big crowd, a lot of energy. Not sure if you've ever been at Gillette in an evening game. I do believe there's some imbibing.
Yes, yes.
That goes on. Yes. The people are a little charged up, so it'll be a tough environment. I don't like him in that situation. We know he's not a rookie anymore, but he, you know, missed so much time, and he's only played 17 games. We know Bill Belichick has a great record against rookies and young quarterbacks, so should be a long, tough one for Justin Fields if things go according to plan.
Now, the Bears' defense isn't horrible, and they've got a pretty good edge rusher in Robert Quinn. Is the O-line of the Patriots up to the task in this one?
Four out of the five certainly will be. I think Isaiah Wynn has become such a liability that I think, you know, the writing is more than on the wall that Marcus Cannon is taking his job. It's just a matter of getting him up to game speed. And even then, though, I don't think you can take a deep breath and relax because, you know, Marcus Cannon is a veteran. You know, I don't think he's going to be a great right tackle. He'll be a better right tackle. But that is a problem. I mean, we can name the Mac Jones strip sack was not on Isaiah Wynn, but the Brian Hoyer injury was. And now two Bailey Zappe strip sacks have been on Isaiah Wynn. Throw in the penalties there. It's just a bad situation. And to me, it shows, you know, we focus on the quarterback a lot when it comes to the coaching and the play calling and all that. But, you know, they don't have their offensive line coach right now is Matt Patricia, who has 97 other responsibilities. You know, he's not there to coach him up, to help on the sidelines, to make things better during the game. And I think you're seeing that deficiency there. You know, Dante Scarnecchia was going to retire, but they didn't have to just, you know, have a replacement for a couple years and then just not have one. So I think that's an area of coaching that maybe doesn't get as much attention, but hurts the team overall. When you talk about big, just to forget about the little plays and the holding and the false starts and all that, just the quarter, one quarterback getting hurt and another one coughing the ball up twice, those are some big plays.
We talked about this with you in preseason and early in the season, that Bill Belichick seemed awfully happy for a guy who was maybe facing the prospect of a challenging season. But I don't know, did he know all along that this is a better team than people expected?
It's a great question, because he told us all in August when, you know, the hounds were out, the fangs were showing, the sharks were circling, however you want to put it. He said, you know, usually you find out the scope of your team, the identity of your team 5-6 weeks in, you know, sometime in October. And we all said, he's buying time. But sure enough, you know, two games with a backup, not a great start. I don't think we need to throw a parade for 3-3. I know Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe the other day said that Bill Belichick's gaining ground in the Brady or Belichick debate, which is crazy to do after wins over Detroit and Cleveland. But, you know, the point is they're doing better than I think they looked like they were going to do even a couple weeks into the season. So, yeah, certainly I think that confidence, and I think it goes to even, you know, in the dynasty years when they were at their best, players would always say every day is the same at work. Bill Belichick is always the same. So if that holds when they're 14-2, I'm guessing it holds when they're 1-2. And I think that's part of what makes him, you know, have all those wins.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Did Tom Brady stay at the party too long, or has he just not got enough support around him in Tampa Bay?
Well, the line's not helping. That offensive line is a problem. But to me, he just doesn't look the same, and it's not physical. He can still throw the ball as well as he ever has. He just, I don't know, there's not a lot of believability in Tom Brady, which I never thought I'd see. He just doesn't seem to have that same investment. And certainly you can understand why as a human with everything that's going on in his life.
Right.
I can't imagine that it's a very fun time in his life in that regard. But this is sort of, you know, if he's losing his marriage because he went back to football, you'd think, I don't know, he'd be more into the football, but he's, you know, skipping walkthroughs to go to his former boss's wedding in New York. It's just, it's not great. So when you see, I mean, Tom Brady's obviously yelled at his teammates on the sideline before, but when he does it Sunday after, you know, skipping work on Saturday so he could go to a bougie party in New York, it's not the same Tom Brady. But that being said, his division is so bad, and they kind of gifted the end of that game against Atlanta, who's the only decent team in the division, that they'll still be in the playoffs, and you know, I'm not going to bet against them there. So for now, it's just it's been a little bit of a clunky season for to start.
Bruins off to a pretty good start at 3-1, rough game with the Senators a couple of nights ago. So far, better offense than last year. Defense needs some work, but missing some key guys.
Gonna agree to disagree on the defense needs some work, because if every game is like 12, 13, 14 combined goals, I'm in. I don't care. I don't care about the defense. I don't care about the goalies' goals against average. Like, let's go back and forth on that. That was crazy, because that game, they go down 3-0 and tie it up, and you're like, all right. But then they're down again, and then they're back in it, and then they're out of it again. I mean, that was, if you look away for a minute, you miss three goals. I kind of like it, given the Claude Julien, Bruce Cassidy mold we've had for so long. If this is how it's going to be, let's go all. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, as they say.
I'm with you on that. It's funny. Now, I love a 1-0 baseball game, but I'll take 7-5, 8-6 anytime in a hockey game.
Do you like a nothing 18 inning playoff baseball game? Because that was something to behold.
I actually did enjoy that, made better, of course, by former Black Bear Jeremy Pena getting the big home run.
Of course. Having a decent little postseason there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is something to get used to. I don't know how much, when I look at the other night, and not to focus on the bad game when they've had some good ones, I don't even know why you bother pulling Jeremy Swayman at that point, because of the opportunities that Otto was getting. The front of the net was just wide open, and it was just like a shooting gallery. I'm not sure maybe you could luck into a save on one of those, but he was getting hung out to dry. Maybe you just pull the goalie there out of, it's just kind of what you do in that situation. But I certainly would expect there's going to be more of a focus. Maybe that's a back-to-back thing. It's the home opener for Ottawa, and it's kind of a one-off. But certainly that type of defense obviously is not sustainable.
I have to ask, based on the video I saw posted yesterday, have you been called in to be the counselor to get Mike Felger off the edge when he's going on those rants about the NFL?
Here's the thing. So I noticed this. Usually I go on Boston Sports Tonight, and I usually do like two segments. Last week I did three, and by the third, Felger had just exploded at everything I said. So there's a certain amount of Mike Hurley that Mike Felger can deal with. And for whatever reason, I only did two segments the other night, but it still happened. So I am kind of like a explosive powder, and he's kind of like a lit match. So when I'm around, he just tends to get mad and start yelling at me, even if I didn't do anything. I am usually just standing there as an innocent bystander getting yelled at. That's kind of my role.
It's gold. It's absolute gold. Keep it up.
I don't have to do anything to keep it up, so sure, no problem.
You just be you, and if that puts him over the edge, fantastic.
Just the sight of my face and the scent of my hair product is enough to send him over the edge.
Michael Hurley, WBZ Boston with us. Michael, thank you. As always, appreciate you making time, and we'll do it again soon.
Always a pleasure.